In the Lord of the Rings movies, Gandalf pointedly asks Saruman when he abandoned reason for madness. It's a good question. When did Saruman become evil, and why? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium in depth, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and other great fantasy books and TV shows. Welcome. Saruman the Wise was the leader of the Istari, one of the Maiar sworn to guide and protect the people of Middle-earth. But by the time we meet him in The Lord of the Rings, he is clearly not a good guy. So what happened and why? It may be tempting to suggest that he was simply overtaken by a desire for the ring and the power it would bring him, despite never actually having it in his possession, and that certainly was a major part in what happened later on. But I want to start much earlier than that, for the seeds of his fall seem to have been planted even before he reached Middle-earth. Saruman was a Maiar, one of five chosen by the Valar to journey to Middle-earth around the year 1000 of the Third Age, to work against the machinations of Sauron and guide and support the free peoples of the land. The five became known as the Istari, the Order of Wizards. But it's important to note that that collegiate feel of an order of like-minded people was never actually there. The Blue Wizards headed off east and never returned. Saruman was with them for most of that time. Radagast largely kept to himself in nature, and Gandalf tended to work best as a solo traveller moving from place to place in northwest Middle-earth. The five may have shared a commission from the Valar, but they didn't really work as a team at all. They hardly ever even met in Middle-earth, and even travelled there separately, and the jealousies and divisions were apparent right from the time of their choosing, particularly when it comes to Saruman. Saruman volunteered to go and clearly thought himself the leader of the expedition, whereas Gandalf did not want to go and had to be ordered to. Nevertheless, even though he was the third to depart, Varda made a point of stating that Gandalf wasn't the third in precedence. Then Yavanna made a point of saying that she wanted Radagast to go with Saruman to help protect the natural world. Perhaps Saruman took that as a slight, that he couldn't be trusted to do that himself, or perhaps he simply thought Radagast beneath him. Remember when he later dismissed Radagast as Radagast the Simple, Radagast the Fool. Either way, it's clear he saw it as an imposition. And then a third slight. When Gandalf arrived in Middle-earth, Círdan gave him Narya, the Ring of Power, a mighty gift and an expression of confidence from the wisest elf in Middle-earth. He didn't give it to Saruman. We're told in Unfinished Tales that the White Messenger, who was skilled to uncover all secrets, after a time became aware of this gift and begrudged it, and it was the beginning of the hidden ill will that he bore to the Grey, which afterwards became manifest. So, from the moment the mission to Middle-earth started, Saruman was a bit put out, and that jealousy and discontent festered over a long period of time. Not that it was very apparent to most. There was a long distance between Saruman and Gandalf, with Saruman being off in the east, so it probably didn't matter so much then. But when he did return to the west, and had to be in contact with Gandalf again on a frequent-ish basis, something happened that will definitely have stirred up those old feelings again. Galadriel had formed the White Council, a council of the wise and good in Middle-earth dedicated to opposing the Shadow, and she wanted Gandalf to lead it. This is perhaps understandable. He was much better known to the elves of Western Middle-earth at that point, as Saruman had been off in Rûn for 1.5 millennia. Gandalf, though, refused. He didn't want to be tied down, so Saruman was given the role instead. But the damage was done. Saruman was angry and jealous. He was the leader of the Istari, not Gandalf. Was Saruman fallen by this point? Well, it seems that he was certainly at least falling. We're told in the Silmarillion that his pride and desire of mastery was grown great by this point. So something had been happening, perhaps slowly while he was gone with the Blue Wizards, but what? Well, we don't have any detailed accounts of what the three of them were up to at that point, although it does appear that the Blue Wizards also fell from being some of Sauron's most implacable foes, having a very great influence, Tolkien tells us, in causing dissension and disarray to Sauron's would-be forces, But eventually, they failed, in different ways to Saruman, ending up founding cults and magic traditions that survived the fall of Sauron. Saruman will have been with or near them for at least the start of that fall, perhaps influencing his own slide, or perhaps he was influencing theirs. I did another video on exactly what happened to the Blue Wizards, if you're interested. What we do know Saruman was doing was studying the devices of Sauron of old. That's quite a vague sentence, but it's clear that what he was doing during that period included looking into dark things. And we're told time and time again that studying such things is dangerous. And after the forming of the White Council and his moving back from the West, he doubled down on this. He began studying the lore of the Rings of Power, their making and history. His studies into dark things now had a focus, and that study seems to have been his focus for 300 years, before he was given the keys to Orthanc and established a permanent home base for perhaps the first time in Middle-earth. He probably knew that he would find a Palantir there, an extremely powerful seeing stone from ancient times that he could use on to spy on friends and allies alike. This would be extremely important later in the final stages of his fall, but we'll get to that in a bit. Nearly another century passed. Saruman continued to study Sauron and the One Ring, and his heart darkened. If we were to pick a turning point for him, this was surely it. The Silmarillion picks up the story. Gandalf had discovered that Sauron had returned and was hiding in Dol Guldur in Mirkwood. He implored the White Council to attack, but Saruman vetoed it. We're told why. Saruman had turned to dark thoughts and was already a traitor in heart, for he desired that he and no other should find the Great Ring, so that he might wield it himself and order all the world to his will. Too long he had studied the ways of Sauron in hope to defeat him, and now he envied him as a rival rather than hated his works. And he deemed that the ring, which was Sauron's, would seek for its master as he became manifest once more. But if he were driven out again, then it would lie hid. Therefore, he was willing to play with peril and let Sauron be for a time, hoping by his craft to forestall both his friends and the enemy when the ring should appear. So Saruman was already secretly working against the rest of the White Council and plotting to take the ring for himself nearly two centuries before the events of the Lord of the Rings. What followed was really just a working through of that truth. In the year 2941 of the Third Age, a full 90 years after Gandalf had revealed Sauron's presence in Dol Guldur, Saruman finally authorised an attack. His thinking this time seems to have been that as Sauron was now growing in power and sending his forces to search the Anduin River Valley, he might actually find it, and he didn't want that. He wanted a clear path to search for the ring himself, secretly. So the White Council attacked Dol Guldur, and Sauron withdrew all the way back to Mordor. Saruman returned to Orthanc and continued his own search. But I said we would return to that Palantir Saruman found in Orthanc. Sauron being back in Mordor meant that he could use his own Palantir, and communicating with Saruman began to dominate him. Saruman's corruption was therefore complete by around the year 3000 of the Third Age. He had probably already started building his army at Orthanc some time before that. We're told that he started fortifying it in 2953, and it's probably true that he was never completely in thrall of Sauron. His plan until just days before the end seems to have been to claim the ring for his own and to rule with it, or if that didn't work, join Sauron's side and act as his lieutenant. He tried to play both sides for a long time, and did so successfully for a long time. Gandalf had been suspicious of him for a while, but clearly didn't expect to be walking into a trap when he visited Orthanc near the start of the Lord of the Rings, and Sauron thought Saruman was fully working for him until the Nazgul captured some of his spies en route to the Shire. So, when did Saruman turn evil? I guess it's a matter of perspective. The annexes to the Lord of the Rings pinpoint the year 3000 of the Third Age as the moment he became ensnared by Sauron and a traitor to the White Council. That's 18 years before the main story of the Lord of the Rings. but he had clearly been working in his own self-interest for a lot longer than that, hunting for the One Ring and preventing attacks on Sauron for hundreds of years. We're told that he was already a traitor in heart around 200 years before the Lord of the Rings, and as far back as 2463, over half a millennium before the Lord of the Rings, we're told that his pride and desire of mastery had grown great. And the roots of this go even further back. Jealousy and disdain were parts of his character even before he arrived in Middle-earth. Sometimes I feel that critics of the world of J.R.R. Tolkien are too eager to categorise characters as either good or evil, because they see the whole story as just an existential battle between good and evil. But that is not how Tolkien wrote characters. Saruman, like all the other characters in this huge world, is multi-layered. He wasn't a good guy until suddenly one day he woke up a bad guy. He was all these things and more. Slowly descending from being an admirable figure with flaws to a detestable figure with some redeeming features. Perhaps by the very end, even those redeeming features had gone, but to paint Saruman as a binary good or evil character is to miss the point. The greatest among us has the potential to fall to terrible depths, and the humblest has the potential to rise to majestic heights. So fell Saruman, and so rose the Shire, that home of the humblest in Middle-earth. That's where Saruman met his final end is an irony that should not escape us. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.